So good morning. My name is Jay Jefferson. I'm one of the senior pastors here at North County Community Church. And I'm excited to be here. Someone asked me earlier today if I, because I told them that I don't enjoy necessarily being on stage. It doesn't sound, it doesn't look like that. But trust me, right when the last note is being sung and it's time for me to come off stage, I have like this myriad of butterflies that are not just in my stomach, they're in my throat. And so I always get nervous when I step on stage. But I am glad to be here, glad to see all of you, my brothers and my sisters. So here's a funny thing. I understand that my I understood that I was supposed to preach today, and so I got prepared early. And normally what would happen, just a little insight just in case you didn't know, normally the pastors, when they're done doing all of their due diligence, they normally hand their outlines and everything to Debbie somewhere toward the end of the week, like Friday evening. And Debbie's like, okay, are you have your outline? Oh, yeah, it's coming. I'm going to get it to you. Hold on. But this particular week, I gave it to her on Monday morning. Well, in fact, when she walked in the door, it was already sitting in her email queue. And I said, I hope I didn't scare you. And she said, is everything okay? I said, everything is fine. I said, everything is fine. And she said, you know what's going to happen, right? You're going to change this by Friday. I said, no, this time I think it's etched in stone. She said, we'll see. So sure enough, I did not change anything, right? I laid it out, and just as God gave it to me. But all this week, God has just really been leaning heavily on me. And if you've ever had God lean on you, you'll know that the weight of his glory will push you to your knees. Anybody? The weight of his glory will push you to your knees sometimes. And so God just kept impressing upon me about all the things that have been going on around us. There's loss of loved ones and loss of job and this whole pandemic that's, well, both the pandemics that are swirling around us. And God just really impressed upon me that when we come to church, we should have a time that we just reach out to him, just our hearts, just empty out our hearts to him. He told us to cast all our cares on him. And I'm sure that most of you all do that in your own prayer time, but how great is it that we can come here and do it corporately together? So God deals with me differently. So that how he brought it to my attention was like this. And I'm not sure how many of you all are into the old hymns or the old songs or whatnot. I know a lot of people like the new stuff that's out. But this is how God brought it to me. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. That calls me from a world of care. And bids me at my Father's throne. Make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief. My soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare and way for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. Thy wings doth my petitions bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engaged a waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, I'll believe his word and trust his grace, and cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege it is to carry not just one thing, but everything to God in prayer. And who can we find a friend so faithful? And who will all our sorrows share? when Jesus knows our every weakness, and all we have to do is take it to the Lord in prayer. Those two songs stayed with me all week. I tried to sing other songs and could not. Those two songs stayed with me. I'm sure my family was like, is he ever going to stop singing those songs? And so what I wanted to do this morning was offer a time of prayer. Not a sweet hour. We don't have an hour. But I wanted to offer some time where we can lift our hearts to God and just tell him about our troubles. If you would, if you can, stand with me this morning. If you have something that you would like to talk to God about, stand with me this morning. If you have a problem, I don't care if it's with your marriage, with your family, or your job, if it's your ministry, whatever it is, stand with me and let's engage God in prayer this morning. And maybe you don't have a particular situation that you're plagued with, but maybe you know somebody that does. And maybe you want to stand on their behalf. You want to intercede for them. And if you don't have those things, just look at the people that are sitting in your section, in your row. And if you don't have a care, just lift your hearts for them. Let's pray. Most gracious Father, we are thankful for this time that's been carved out for us to come to worship you. We're thankful, God, that we understand that worship is not just singing songs, but it is in the preaching. It is in our fellowship, and it is in our time of prayer and communion with you. And so, God, as we lift our hearts to you, there are some things that we have concerns about. There are some things that worry us. There are some things that bother us. There are some things that have been swirling around us. And the only way that we're going to get relief is if we bring these cares to you. And so, God, I'm lifting my heart right now because I'm hurting. I'm confused. I'm mad. I'm disappointed. And I need you to come and to take this worry from me, to take this problem, this situation from me. God, it has become a distraction, and it hinders me from time to time in my pursuit of you, in my journey to become more like you. I'm hindered sometimes. And so, God, I'm lifting my heart to you, asking that you would come in and give me the strength I need to stand, to give me the courage I need, to give me the wisdom I need. And for those things, God, that have been hurting, and the loss of our loved ones, and the loss of our friends, and the loss of my job, and the loss of the situation, God, I'm asking you right now, God, that you would mend my heart, my broken heart, that you would put it back together as only you can. I'm praying right now, God, that you bring peace where there is confusion and where there's conflict. I'm asking, God, for peace in the midst of the storm that's going on around me. I'm asking, God, that you bring peace in the midst of this situation. And God, I'm praying for my brothers. I'm praying for my sisters. I'm praying for my uncles, my aunts, my nieces, my grandchildren. Praying for my parents, God. I'm praying for these people, God, who don't have a clue as to who you are. I'm praying for these people that are searching for some answers but looking in the wrong places. So, God, I'm lifting up my heart to you, God. Will you go see about them? Will you go touch their heart? Will you go speak to them as you have talked to me? Will you reassure them that you've never left them nor forsaken them, but just as you've created them, just as you have care for them, you are watching over them right now. Will you let them know that somebody loves them? Somebody cares for them. God, I'm standing here now searching for answers. And I'm asking you, God, to reveal these answers to me. Or at least give me peace in the midst of my search for these answers. God, there's a myriad of things that I could say But we don't have the allotted time to give all of these things to you. So God, I'm just going to say, you know my every weakness. You know my every fear. You know my every situation. And I'm asking you, God, to speak to each and every situation as only you can. Bring victory where it's needed. Bring peace, bring strength, bring love, bring understanding, bring wisdom. God, bring your glory to my situation. Reign supreme in it. Stand up strong so that we can see you. And help us, God, help us as only you can. God, we thank you for this time that we can just share our hearts with you. And we know, God, that as you are listening to me, I know that you're listening to my brother and sister across the sanctuary. And so I'm thankful that you can hear every prayer. And you are already on the case. And you are already answering. You are already worked it out. And I'm thankful for that. Thankful for this time, God. And I pray, God, that we continue in prayer. That we continue to commune with you. That we may see you and hear you and feel you. And that we will be enlightened and strengthened, and that we will receive the victory, and you will be glorified. God, these and many other blessings we pray and ask in your name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The ironic thing about the hymns that I sang earlier is that we're actually going to be talking about Psalm 91 this morning. And if you know anything about the Psalms, I always call the Psalms God's personal hymn book. Because they're just not scripture. They're just not things that were just spoken. These are songs that were given by God by way of the Holy Spirit to these men, these individuals. And there are several of them that have written the Psalms. David is the most popular of the writers of Psalms. And then there's Solomon, and then there's Moses and Asaph and Ethan and the sons of Korah. So there's a great number of people who have written Psalms. There's 48 Psalms that we don't even know who wrote them. But there's a great number of writers of the Psalms. It's God's personal hymn book. And what makes this significant is that in Bible time, and I don't know if y'all knew this or not, but they didn't have iPads and iPods. They couldn't say, Alexa, play, right? They had to know these songs. And they were written and recorded, if you will, on the tablets of their hearts. So that when trouble came up, does anybody remember when, before you were married, hopefully not after you got married, when your heart was broken and you used to play that sad love song? Don't act like I'm the only person in here that ever did that, all right? But you used to play that sad love song and you'd just be sort of, oh, I can't believe it. And people would be knocking on the door saying, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. But you're just listening to the sad love song. And maybe it was a CD or, for some of you all, a cassette tape. Some of you all 8-track. Some of y'all 45s. Whatever way, whatever the method was, but you used to listen to them, right? And but guess what? When we were happy, anybody remember when the Cardinals won the 82 World Series? Remember? And we were singing, celebrate. Remember that? Or we were singing, the heat is on. Oh, yeah. I don't have no Cardinal fans in here. Right, so we access songs, right? So because they speak to our mood, they speak to where we are in our walk, in our journey, and whatnot. But in Bible time, they didn't have CDs and digital players, and they couldn't say, "Alexa, play my favorite sad love song playlist." They just had to access the songs that were written in Scripture that were passed down from generation to generation. I preached a sermon once before about Paul and Silas being jailed after being whipped and beaten and placed as the Bible calls it, in the innermost part of the jail, or the dungeonous most part of the prison. It was at midnight. And if anybody knows anything about midnight, that's when we have the least distractions. That's when TV is usually turned off. We don't get a bunch of phone calls, unless you're a pastor. The electricity is down real low, and it's really, really, really quiet. And it seems like that's the one time that Satan just can come in and just mess with your mind. It was at midnight that Paul and Silas began to sing began to pray and sing praises unto God. Here it is, they're whipped and beaten, and in the dungeonous part of the prison. And rather than scream and say, "Let me out, I didn't do it, I'm innocent," they began to pray and sing praises unto God. Translation, they began to sing the Psalms. And while they were singing, I can imagine, all right, because I don't want nobody to say, I didn't find that in the Bible. It's an imagination. I can imagine Silas, saying to Paul, "Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." And Paul saying, "Well, who is this King of glory?" And Silas said, "Well, he's the Lord God Almighty. He's strong and mighty in battle. So lift up your head, O ye gates." And then Paul said, "I got one too." And he says, "This is my song." He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." He goes on into it and says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And then I hear Silas coming back and saying the psalm that we're going to talk about today. It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my fortress, in Him will I trust." And then Paul comes back and says, "I got one for you too." He says, "I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praises shall continuously be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." And they're going back and forth with these songs that are etched in their heart. So much so, not to preach this sermon, but this is an exciting part. The Bible talks about how the earth is the Lord's footstool. And I could just imagine that while they're singing these songs to God, that God is tapping His foot on this footstool in time with what they're singing. And while He's tapping His foot on the footstool, a great earthquake rolls up. Remember what the Bible says? The earth was shaken. And everyone's prison doors were open, and everyone's bands fell off of them. And the jailer thought that surely all of these murderers and thieves and rapists and whoever, surely they're about to escape. And so he was going to kill himself. And Paul jumps in there and says, "No, don't kill yourself. Don't kill yourself." He says, "What? What are his words? We are all here." See, the words of those songs that Paul and Silas sang had a profound effect on the other prisoners that were in that jail. And instead of them, like some of us would have probably done, run when the doors opened up, it was something about those songs, it was something about that prayer that resonated in the hearts of those other prisoners. And when they could escape, they didn't. Paul said, "Don't kill yourself. We're all still here." Songs, or in this case, the Psalms, have a profound effect on us. And as somebody said once before, I like to say this in tease, it would behoove us to memorize these songs and have them etched in our hearts as well. Now I'm going to shift gears. So y'all stay with me. It's a roller coaster ride. Y'all stay with me. Satan That was a big switch. At that point, Lucifer, while in heaven, is commanding all of the choirs in heaven. The Bible would talk about how when he would move, he was a beautiful, beautiful angel, beautiful creature. And when he would move, music would come out of him. And he would direct the choir, and they would sing the most beautiful melodies, and the most beautiful sounds would come out of this choir. And it was all because Lucifer was up there directing the choir. Now, I know, I see, I come from a black church, and I'm used to having a choir director. And I come from the Pentecostal black church, and that director is flamboyant. When we're directing, we are demonstrative, right? It's almost like a step show. And we're having the greatest fun up there, right? And we're directing. I can imagine Lucifer is just directing this choir, and they are singing the great praises unto God. And Lucifer is looking around and saying, "You guys sound really good. I'm doing a good job." He then says, "I will ascend to the third heaven, and I will take my place on God's throne, because I'm the one generating all this praise. I'm the one that's bringing all this glory, and people are singing because of me. They are singing greatly because of me. I should get some praise. I should get some credit." He says, "I'll ascend to the throne." God says, "We don't have a Game of Thrones up here. There's only one God. That's me. And he's the only one that can sit on this throne." And so he then kicks Lucifer out of heaven. Jesus then begins to remark. He says, "I saw Satan," because his name changed when he left heaven. "I saw Satan fall to earth like lightning." But it wasn't just Lucifer. A third of the angels agreed with him. And they got kicked out too. God says, in that action, God said very clearly, and I want everybody to really hear this because this is important. God says, "If you don't want me, then you cannot have the benefits that come with me." If you don't want to abide by what I am, and come underneath this umbrella and be a part of what I have created, if you don't want me, you don't get the benefits. In other words, you don't get sunny days all the time. You don't get no sickness, no death. If you don't want me, you don't get the benefits that come with me. And so ever since Satan was kicked out, he's not been trying to get back to heaven. He's been trying to discourage the rest of us who do like God, or rather love God. He's been trying to discourage us from going there and to partake in those benefits. He's been after us ever since Adam and Eve stepped on the earth. He's been after us, trying to make us fall. Lying to us. What did he tell Eve? Surely he didn't mean death. He didn't mean you were going to die. And Satan has been lying to us ever since. Because he knows that if we reject God, we cannot lay claim to the benefits that come along with knowing and having a relationship with God. In Psalm 91, we will begin to discover what those benefits are. So let's read them. Psalm 91, beginning at verse number 1, says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord our God. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe the eye with your eyes and the punishment of the wicked. And if you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord your God, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. And because he loves me, says the Lord your God, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. And I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. Here's my favorite part of this verse. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. It's beautiful. See, whenever Satan comes, and the Bible tells us he will come, another scripture passage that says, when the enemy comes in like a flood. Or did it say if? Or did it say underneath these circumstances? No, it said when the enemy comes in like a flood, which means it's sure to happen. It's going to happen. It's inevitable that the enemy will come in like a flood. The Bible tells us that we are troubled on every side. It's going to happen. It's called life. It's going to happen. There's going to be trouble. Don't think that because you come to church and because you've given your life to God and because you sing on the praise team, because you're a musician or because you're a pastor or you do serving whatever, you're a greeter. Don't think that because you come to church now that all your cares are taken care of. You don't have to worry about it. Everything's going to be sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. It's not going to happen. It's going to rain. There's going to be trouble. I found this out. It's really unique. Candace and I were doing, we were sitting around with a bunch of married couples once, and I think it was something that she and I were conducting. And so there may have been like maybe 5 or 6 married couples around. And it was so funny or ironic, but one of the ladies started talking, and she was talking about something that her husband did. And all of a sudden, you started hearing the other ladies, "You too? Your husband does that too? Oh, I thought it was just me." Guess what? All husbands do the same thing. We just do. All right? So here's the other part. So one of the guys was talking about something that his wife did and whatever else. And you heard, and well, you didn't hear, but you saw the guys in the group go, because he knew he had to ride home with his wife, right? So, but we came to find out that all married people go through the same, can I say this word, stupid stuff. So I told this, and this is not a message about marriage, but just indulge me for a second. I told every married couple that comes to do marital counseling, I tell them all the time, I look at him, I said, "You don't have to worry about it. It don't make a difference who you would have picked. All women are crazy." That's exactly what I tell them. All women are crazy, all of them. And then I look at her and I said, all men are nuts. All men have a screw loose somewhere. I said, we're going to trip over our own feet. We're going to get it wrong. You might as well get ready. He is going to mess up. So trouble will always be present with us. It's going to happen. And so we can put that out of our mind. It's not about whether or not I'm going to be safe from harm. It's about what I'm truly safe from. See, when trouble comes up, Satan comes in. He said, see, I told you God wasn't paying attention to you. See, I told you God has some other cares. I told you that God, I told you all that Jesus stuff wasn't about anything. I told you that going to church wasn't going to do anything. I told you all that praying, all that reading, that choir singing. I told you none of that stuff means anything. I told you you could read your Bible all day long. You're still going to be in trouble. You still ain't got it right. You failed last week. You failed this morning. And Satan comes to us and says, this thing is not real. But that's when you come back and you start singing a song that resonates within your heart and your mind to remind you of the confidence that we have in our Savior. That he who has given, he that the Father has given unto my hand, no one can otherwise pluck out. That means I might fall short, I might miss the mark, but that does not negate me from going to heaven. The Bible tells us that a just man falls seven times, but he does what? He gets back up again. I don't know the songwriter who wrote the original song, but in the refrain of the vamp of the song, he says, we fall down, but we get up. We fall down, but we get up. We fall down, but we get up. For a saint is just a sinner who fell down, but got up. But Satan will come and tell you all the time, you messed up. Yep, you messed up. You're not going to heaven now. You messed up. You might as well not go back to church. They're not going to accept you in there because you messed up, like we know. But when trouble comes, the scriptures remind us of God's care and his love for us. And just like when Satan tempted Jesus after he was fasting for 40 days, Jesus didn't respond to him with some fancy quip. Jesus just recited the scriptures. And when he recited the scriptures, Satan had to shut up at that point. And it's for us, as we read a psalm like Psalm 91, to have it etched in our hearts so that when the enemy comes in like a flood, this is the standard that God lifts up in us. And I can read that scripture passage that because I dwell in the shadow, in the shelter of the Most High, and I can rest under the shadow of the Almighty. The Bible tells us that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run in and are saved. We have confidence that even when troubles come and Satan comes to get at us, to eat at us, we have confidence in what God says is going to happen. It's that confidence, that same confidence, that allows us to go and travel abroad. And we know that at any given time, at any moment, that something can break out in the world, that somebody, it's going to happen. Somebody's going to say something to another somebody. They're going to get mad, and then all of a sudden they're going to start kicking folk out or chasing folk down or even worse. But I can travel abroad because I'm confident, because we have a U.S. embassy in that country. And if something goes south, I can always run to that embassy. I can imagine if somebody was chasing after you and they were shooting at you and you run, and these Marines, these U.S. Marines, these strong, solid, brave U.S. Marines are standing there ready to protect you as you come into this U.S. embassy. And you run past them, and they're like, we got the rest of that. Now you're with us. Now, I used to think that once you step on the grounds of the embassy, that you're on U.S. soil. And that's a misconception. But the good thing is that once you step inside the fence and you're inside that area, you are under U.S. rule. You can run in there and find the protection you need, the safety you need. You can find the provision that you need at the U.S. consulate. And it gives us confidence when we travel abroad. Y'all stay with me. I'm going somewhere with this. So now that we have given our life to Christ, we are no longer citizens of this earth. We are kingdom citizens. And we belong to the one true God. And our home is in heaven. This place that you have down here, you're just paying rent. Because you're a pilgrim that's just passing through. This is not your home any longer. God has given you, we call it a reward, but God has set for you a place on high and is just waiting for your quote-unquote expiration date down here. But your expiration date down here starts your next state up there. And so here it is. While you are down here, you're in now a foreign land, because now we don't think, at least we're not supposed to, think like everybody else, because I think kingdom-mindedly, right? I whenever something unfolds, I'm looking at the scriptures and I'm saying, I'm now approaching this from a biblical worldview. And so I know I'm going to ruffle some feathers when I say this, but here's the thing. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm not an independent. I'm a Christian. And although I'm supposed to drive the speed limit, I'm still governed by another person. And another constitution. I wish I had my regular Bible. I'm governed by another constitution. And that constitution trumps this one. Because when it's all said and done, this constitution has some holes in it. It does not account for every person. If you're too old, it doesn't account for you. If you're too young, it doesn't account. If you're black, it doesn't account for you. If you're poor, it doesn't account for you. If you're whatever, it's so many different things. If you don't fit in this small little narrow definition, that constitution really does not speak for you. But I have a constitution here that speaks for everybody. It doesn't make a difference if you're white, if you're black, if you're Hispanic or Asian. It doesn't make a difference if you're older or if you're young. It doesn't make a difference if you're seasoned or if you are you're just starting out on your journey. It doesn't matter. This Constitution includes all of us. And this Constitution is the one by which, when we are Christians, the one that we abide by. I'm going to say this, and again, I know I'm losing people, but I apologize. Hopefully you've paid your tithe already. I'm joking. For those of you all that are Democrats, you've been waiting on them to do what? And it hasn't happened yet. For those of you all that are Republican, you've been waiting on them to do what? It hasn't happened yet. And those of you all that are independent, you're swinging both ways. You're trying to find out. And when you vote, you always vote for the lesser of two evils. Help me understand why Christians who are supposed to abhor evil are trying to choose between the lesser of two evils. I pray and I ask God, what should I do? How should I go before I go into the voting booth and I vote, because that's my right and I should do it, and so forth and so on. But at the end of the day, whenever that president messes up, I have a God who never messes up. At the end of the day, when we elect the other party and he's in office or she is in office and they mess up, because they will, I have a God who has never failed. And that Ladies and gentlemen, that is what drives me every day. I don't worry about how they handle the pandemic and how they're handling the pandemic and this, that, and all. I worry about what God says about the pandemic. And he says that he is protecting me from the noise and pestilence that comes in the evening time and the arrows that fly through the noonday and whatever device Satan can come up with to come against us, it shall not come near me. It will not affect me. Why? Because I belong to the Most High. And when troubles come, I don't ask Alexa to play my favorite whatever list. When troubles come, I start singing the old hymns. Troubles come, I go back to the Psalms, and I'm reminded that God is a deliverer. I'm reminded that God is a healer. Whenever I look at people that post things on Facebook and say, y'all pray for me, I got to go in and get this treatment or whatever, I don't worry about that. I pray and I say, God's got it. God is a healer. And that's what I rely on. Psalm 91. Verses 1, 2, and 4. I guess I should address your outline. Verses 1, 2, and 4 speak to the confidence we have in him. See, when you refer to God in the right way, it shows the confidence you have. Jim last week talked about the difference between fear, and he talked about fear being, well, I'm paraphrasing, being a healthy, respectful love of God. And when you read the fact that he's your shelter, that he's the Most High, see, there's no more higher than the Most High. When you read that he's the Most High, when you read that he's the Almighty, when you read that he's the Lord, and it's capital L-O-R-D, which means the Lord our God, which means God the Father. He's the Lord our God. He's a fortress. He's a refuge. He's a God in whom I trust. He's like an eagle that spreads his wings over his chicks and protects them from the elements. You go to Part B, it says what we're protected from. We're protected from every single thing. Now, I need to put a disclaimer here. Just because you believe in God doesn't mean cancer won't come. Just because you believe in God doesn't mean that other situations won't evolve. Unfortunately, because we're on this earth, we have to deal with some earthly consequences to our sin and the sins of our brothers or the sins of our fathers. So that's where trouble comes in. It will come. It's going to happen. It's going to come about, and we have to deal with those things. But here's the thing. The Bible tells us that surely they will gather together, right? And they will conspire against you, but no weapon formed against you will prosper. It doesn't mean necessarily that the weapon down here won't be effective down here. But if the weapon takes us out, I already know I'm confident that heaven is my home. I don't have to worry about where I'm going. See, people I've been at gunpoint. I'm not going to count that. I've been at gunpoint a lot of different times. And my wife hates to hear this. When I first told her this, she was like, "You did what?" But every time somebody pulled a gun on me, it took me all of 2 seconds to find out what I needed to do. Now, what I'm about to say, I am not prescribing this. This is just how I am. Because there are two types of people in the world. There's the person that holds the gun and talks, and there's the person that pulls the trigger and says nothing. And if they put that gun on me and start talking, I got them. And I've had a gun pulled on me. I know when I was working for this one company, I will not name because I don't want y'all to throw your Bibles at me. When I was working for them, I had a gun pulled on me 4 times. And each time that person would hold a gun, he was talking to me. And when he was talking, I just smiled. And one guy asked me, why are you smiling? I was like, And when we were all said and done, he helped me do what I went there to do. Had another guy that told me, if I knock on the door one more time, because I was a first party collector, if I knock on the door one more time, I'm going to come down there and I'm going to shoot you. And I had a new guy with me. And I did like this. And he said, what are you doing? I said, don't worry about it. I got it. He's talking too much. And that guy went and sat in the truck. That guy ran down and said, blah, 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 blah. I told you, if you knock on the door one more time, I'm going to shoot you. I said, you ain't done it yet. I need the TV. Well, I was coming down to pay for it, but the gun still in his hand. I'm like, I hear that. We gave you 2 weeks to come down and pay for it. You didn't come down to pay for it. I need the TV. Man, can't you come back this afternoon? No, sir. For two reasons. One, I wasted gas to come out here. Two, you pulled a gun on me. I'm definitely not going to leave here now without it. And he helped me carry the TV down the steps. But when you have confidence that heaven is your home, you don't worry about who holds the gun, because I know my future. And when Psalm 91 talks about all the different things that he guards against and that he protects us from, and it's a lot, it's not all humanly down here. It has a lot to do with our spiritual being. I'm confident that no matter what Satan does or whatever, I'm going to heaven. I just have that confidence. And that's what this psalm is designed to do, because what happens is, when troubles come, I said this before, when troubles come, Satan will come up and say, see, I told you, this Jesus stuff doesn't work. But what Satan is not realizing or taking into account is, I'm not worried about this earth. I'm worried about eternity. And Psalm 91 tells me that no matter what happens, I have an embassy that I can run to. No matter what happens, I'm safe in his care. And so I walk around not worried about COVID-19. Why? Because no matter what happens, whether I'm able to get the shot or whether I get it and have to be down for several days or whether I get it and die, I know one thing is constant. I'm going to heaven. And so I can walk around confident now. I wear my mask. I try to keep 6 feet when possible. Now, if you don't have 6 feet between you, another story. But I try to do all those things, right? But at the end of the day, I'm not going to be locked up in the house because I'm scared of something that Satan is whispering in my ear. If you go out the house, you know you're going to get COVID. Well, who cares? I get the flu every year. If I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't. I'm confident in this one thing, and that is God is my refuge. He's my fortress. It's him that I trust. Some of you all are going in, you put it out on Facebook, you got some procedures that you all have to go do this week. Don't worry about it. Go get the procedure and know that you're in his care. I'm not worried about what's happening down here. I'm concerned about the eternal, the everlasting. And so when I talk to other people, I talk to them from that standpoint because I want them to have that same level of confidence that I have. I want them to have that same assurance that I have. Letter C on your outline, verses 7 through 13, and I won't go through all of these, but it just tells you our citizen's declaration to God. Just talks about 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 by your right hand, but it won't come nigh you. In other words, there are some people that are going to fall, not to the plague and the pandemic and so forth and so on, but there are some people that are going to fall into hell. And they're going to fall into hell by the thousands. And they're going to fall by the 10,000s by your right hand. In other words, there are going to be people that you know or people that you're connected with or whatever, and they will not make it to heaven, but it won't come to happen to you. Why? Because you have yielded your heart to God and you've believed that Jesus was your Savior. And because of that, it's real simple, too. Bible says, if you believe it in your heart and confess it with your, I can't say that enough. If you believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. Period. Full stop. At that moment, you have been given a seat in heaven. Everlasting life started for me when I was 16. It can start for you today. That's how confident we are in God. Point number two at the bottom talks about God's pledge to his citizens, and this is what I'll close with. Verse 14, it says, because he loves me, says the Lord your God, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. That's simple. He acknowledges my name. He says, he will call upon me and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. I believe it's Psalm 33, I believe, where it says, this poor man cried and the Lord delivered him out of all his troubles. When you have confidence in God, you'll know you not to call your auntie. You'll know not to call your friends. I hope you know not to get on Facebook. But you'll call on God and you say, God, I need you. I'm in trouble. I'm not going to ask how many people, I'll just raise my hand for you. How many people in here have been in trouble and cried out to God? I'm like really cried out to him, right? I remember a time when my car started spinning around and I didn't have the time to see when your car starts spinning on the ice, you don't have time to go, dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we approach you, God, with all sincerity within our hearts. We know that you are God. You don't have that time. Right? My car started spinning out of control, and all I could say was, Jesus! And my car straightened up. I've heard stories. I know people who had stories when they were traveling down 55. You know, there's a lot of construction on 55 going south. Always is. And they were going down Highway 55, and they were coming across an overpass, and their car spun out of control, and they were on their way to a church convention, and everybody in the car seemed like at one time crying out, Jesus, Jesus! And the car spun off of that overpass and landed on its tires. When you're in trouble and you call on him, he will answer. He does it every time. The last verse, and I love this, and it speaks to the essence of this entire passage. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is God talking to us. And he's not talking about long life, like, you know, we're going to live to be 80, whatever. My father's 94, and I asked him, I said, this is back when he was 70-something. I said, how did you do that? I mean, how are you getting there? Because the rest of us need that secret. He said, it's just good living. Good, clean living. I stay to the scriptures, and I try my best to just live out what the scriptures say. And I know that scriptures tell us if we honor our mother and father, we'll be rewarded with long life. And I believe he did that as well. But what God is talking about here is not long life down here. He's talking about everlasting life. With long life will I satisfy him, and watch the next part of this conjunction, and show him my salvation. In other words, you're going to get a chance to experience what this whole thing is about in a few short days. Not so long from now, when this life is over, this journey is over, and they wheel you in here, and they lay you right here, and Mark or Bob does your eulogy, because I'll probably be too much in tears. I can't. And they do your eulogy, and you're stretched out right here, and everybody walks by and talks about, ooh, she looks like she's sleeping. There's only been very few people that look like they've been sleeping, by the way. But that's another story. When that happens, when I look in that casket, I will not have to wonder where you are, because with long life, he has satisfied you. Even at the funeral, while we're crying because we're going to miss your presence down here, we can rejoice because with long life, he has satisfied you. And it's at that moment, or probably the days before, that you will begin to experience the whole thing behind your salvation. And you will see what God has protected you from. Only with your eyes will you see the reward of the wicked. But for the rest of us, he satisfies with long life. It's the psalm and psalms like this that we have to etch in our hearts, so that when trouble comes, we don't get dismayed and discombobulated. We simply just say, I know who I belong to. I know who's my God, and I trust him. And if he says I'm okay, I'm okay. Amen? Let's pray. Most gracious Father, we are thankful again for this Sunday, this opportunity to come out to worship you, to praise you in song and word and deed. We're thankful, God, that you, again, blessed us to have the mind to want to be here. And thankful for that opportunity to pray, to lift our hearts to you. We're thankful, God, for the words and the message that come out to touch us, and myself included, so that we have confidence in you and confidence in your word. And we pray, God, that as we go forward in our life, in this journey, that as troubles arise and as Satan begins to lie to us, that we will remember the truth of your word. That rather than find an old CD or playlist of songs to play, that we'll revert back to your personal hymn book, and we will begin to sing the songs, or at least recite the songs, that bring us confidence, that give us strength, that brings courage, that helps us to know and to understand who you are and who we are in you. Thank you, God, for that little jolt that awakes us. Thank you for making it clear that you are our fortress. You are that kingdom embassy that we can run to whenever we're in trouble. And thank you that you will honor your word, that you will rescue us and protect us and provide for us, that you will satisfy us with long life. Thank you, God, that we will indeed get the opportunity to see our salvation in full color. Thank you, God, for this day. And we pray, God, that as we leave this place, that we don't get so bogged down with other things and other activities that we forget the important lesson of the day. And we pray, God, that this will push us to dive further into the Psalms, that we will begin to learn them and have them in our hearts so that we can recite them at any given time. Thank you for the victory. God, we thank you for our salvation. We thank you, God, that we've been afforded heaven, although we deserved hell. And we're thankful, God, that you are our God, and that you are with us on this journey. Now, God, as we get ready to leave this place, we pray never from your presence. Just allow us, God, to return at the appointed time with no danger to befall us. And we will be mindful, God, to give you praise, honor, and glory with the fruit of our lips, with our actions and our deeds. And we pray that you are glorified in all of what we do. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.